It's beautiful.
It's tasteful.
It's very beautiful. Oh, I know why you're doing this. Yeah.
Makes me feel sad.
It's a bummer.
It is. You know what's funny though is in the opening sequence, that's Carly Simon with Nobody Does It Better. By the way, Spy Who Loved Me. But in the opening sequence, you know, they have, you know, they usually have a woman like doing something.
Yeah.
Well, there's a shot of Bond. He's obviously jumped up as on a trampoline or something. It's just a silhouette, you know, but it's very funny looking. It's not very tough looking or cool or anything like that. It's like,
wee.
I'm up here. Anyway. Yeah, Roger Moore passed away.
The loss of Roger Moore. You know, it's kind of, we had two James Bond related losses recently. Chris Cornell committed suicide.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Who did the theme song for Casino Royale,
yep.
Which is a great Bond theme song, I think.
Good sense.
And then we lost Roger Moore, the first Bond. Oh, welcome to Action Features, everybody. You're in for the new episode. Here it is. So, yeah, he was my least favorite Bond.
Mine
Roger
too.
Roger Moore is. But still. Very sad to know we're gonna start losing, you know, some of those guys now too. I'm a big Star Trek fan, and losing the Star Trek original series guys, it's been happening.
I think Sean Connery's
got to be next.
Next,
which is a bummer. It's him or George Lazenby.
There's no telling. To say that he's my least favorite Bond does not mean I don't like Roger Moore.
I like Roger Moore.
And I especially like him as a person.
As a person, like definitely.
A good guy.
For me, though, he never really... And I mean, I guess it all depends on the Bond you're kind of introduced to first.
I think so.
And the one you watch the most as a kid, maybe, that really brings it home. Because I saw a lot of guys post, that's the Bond I grew up with. He'll always be my Bond. And my dad introduced me through the Sean Connery films.
Right.
Even though I grew up in the era of the Timothy Dalton films.
Well, Roger Moore's got a lot of TV play, I think, and there was more of those than any of the other ones. Mm-hmm. So,
didn't he last the longest for the longest period of time too? He was Bond for the most years. It really stinks to know that eventually we'll lose Connery, we'll lose Lazenby, we'll lose Timothy Dalton. It'll be a time where they're all just falling away. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
So, Godspeed, Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
I didn't even have that written down. I completely forgot.
Don't worry, I wrote it down. Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
It's got to go all up. It's got to go uphill from
here. It's got to go uphill from here. Where are you going to take it?
Well, Young Sheldon is a TV show that's going to happen that I didn't know about. And it's Sheldon from Big Bang Theory as a young child, and his Bible thumping parents are going to get on him and they don't understand him. And he's going to be smarter than everybody. I'm so smart.
How is Big Bang Theory still this popular that we're going to have a spinoff series of Young Sheldon? I've laughed at a few episodes,
sure,
but the joke has gotten old to me now. Like I'm a part of the geek culture. It's accepted now. Right. You know, we're accepted. It's, the driving force of a lot of things is the pop culture, geek culture. There's so many guys that wear comic book t-shirts and see comic book films and go and collect action figures that we're not the outsider anymore. So how is this show where it's kind of poking fun at the fact that there are these outside geek guys still sticking around?
I have a couple thoughts about it. I'm not mad about it because I don't know. But one, the guy who plays Sheldon is what is funny.
Yeah.
Not the character, not the things he does. The way he plays it is what makes it funny. And so now we're going to have somebody else do it. Doesn't seem like a good move to me. Second, the show is filmed much better than the other show. So it's not like filmed like a on-set sitcom.
It's not.
It's a show that goes with that show, but it's not going to match that show. It doesn't have the same feel to it.
And were people watching Big Bang Theory and going, boy, I really wish I could see his adventures as a kid.
I wish I could see what he went through as a
kid. It's not like a Superman where you hear about his adventures as a kid and you go, I would like to see a Superboy series. I would like to watch this.
There was a 5-minute clip that they put up. It wasn't a clip. It was a compilation. It was like a trailer, but it was 5 minutes long. I made it maybe halfway through and I was kind of like, this kid is annoying to me a little bit.
I couldn't even click on it. Because I was so annoyed by the idea of it.
I knew that I would be.
I knew I would be frustrated watching it.
There's a part where his sister is begging him to watch DuckTales. And he says, no, you cannot learn anything from watching DuckTales. And they're watching Bill Nye the Science Guy or something like that. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But doesn't Sheldon like comic books and adventures and cartoons and things from the 80s? And
yeah.
All that stuff, that's what the whole thing is really about. It's less about science than it is about comic books and nerd culture and all that stuff.
The episodes I've seen have been very much focused on the fact.
I mean, a kid who wears a...
They hang out at the comic shop, they're constantly wearing comic book t-shirts.
He wears a Green Lantern shirt, a Flash shirt, a Batman
shirt. Comic book statues all around.
He's going to watch DuckTales.
He's going to watch DuckTales.
He's not going to be upset about watching DuckTales. No. So, right there, I was like, well, okay.
Nobody would ever be upset about watching DuckTales.
That's why I turned it off. It was like, you're trying to make this character into something that it just seems silly to me. It's like the Ace Ventura movie where I had Ace Ventura as a kid.
Yeah.
Who's that for? And who thought that we needed
who
it?
Who wanted that? Other times though, like I was saying with Superman, Indiana Jones, when we saw the young Indiana Jones, I liked the idea of young Indiana Jones Chronicles. I thought that's an interesting take to see more of this character without having to have it be Harrison Ford. But I don't see that draw in a young Sheldon series. I think this is really just reeks of we're running out of ideas for things.
So yeah, how can we keep this thing going? How can we milk this? Because we've...
For a little bit more.
Just a little bit more.
Can we get just a little bit more out of the Big Bang?
Please?
Please? Just a little bit more?
So that's happening.
Yeah, so that happened. Speaking of... you were on a track with something, and then I was going to say, oh, speaking of that,
kids talking about Ace Ventura as a kid, the movie.
I lost it.
We'll have to re-listen to it.
I've lost it. Now I have to listen to the show again. I have to actually listen to this one to figure out what I was going to talk about. Huh.
Oh, shoot.
Something about, you said the young Sheldon TV show. Oh, the Orville. Did we talk about this?
What's that?
That's the Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, my goodness. No, we haven't. This is the
Galaxy Quest ripoff.
Yeah.
I saw Galaxy Quest and I liked it a lot. I thought it was hilarious. I love that
Quest
movie.
Galaxy Quest was funny.
I don't need Galaxy Quest the series. I don't need a series that pokes fun at Star Trek. How is that funny?
The reason that you don't is because it's not just Galaxy Quest.
It's SNL.
It's been SNL. It was In Living Color. It was Mad TV. It was...
Everybody's poked fun at Star Trek.
Everybody has done this.
Do we need it as a series? Like, I don't think we need it as a series.
I don't think so.
A movie, a one-shot little skit on SNL, that's fine. But the joke wears thin. Are there enough people that would appreciate a Star Trek joke series?
What was that?
That would stick with the series.
What was that series that was on? I think it was an online series. It was a space... It wasn't a direct Star Trek spoof. It was just a funny...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name of it now.
I can't remember it either. I
had that one... One cute girl was in it, I think. I think she was in some commercials or something.
I don't remember what you're talking about.
Whatever.
I remember what you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of what it is.
Well, that was watchable, and it was pretty funny, and it wasn't so direct, like, this is a Star Trek spoof.
Exactly.
That would be the way to do it, but we've had that too. So we've had it done right.
We've had it done wrong. We've had a comedy sci-fi space travel series in Red Dwarf. There's those things already, but this just seems like it's a direct... translation of Galaxy Quest or one of those SNL skits where it's meant to be a spoof on Star Trek.
It feels exactly like
a spoof on Star Trek.
And it feels really tired.
Yeah, and I mean, Star Trek itself is tired. Do we need a spoof of Star Trek? No, we don't.
We get it.
Speaking of Star Trek, there was a trailer for their new series, The Discovery. And I just can't get behind it.
Yeah, I'm
so tired of them trying to find spaces of time to fit series into that in the existing canon. It doesn't make sense anymore. Enterprise, I justified Enterprise because you could say it's a spin out of the First Contact timeline that has been created. You could say that and you can kind of wash it away. But so many people had problems with Enterprise and it not fitting with the original series, making things look different. But now we've got another series that takes place before the original series that looks way more advanced than the original series. Oh, really?
This is a prequel to the original series?
Exactly. It's another one that's beforehand.
It'd be okay to do something after.
Like, it would far be after fine to do something far after. Why don't you do something after, you know, Next Generation and Voyager?
Prequels now.
I don't get it. I don't get why they always have to do it.
Try to tap into some nostalgia.
Yeah.
But they're not doing nostalgic things either. I mean, from what I saw, the new series doesn't look like it. Does it look like the old series? I mean, does it look like... does it have a vintage look to it? I haven't seen anything. I didn't think
it's,
so.
It's very odd, man. The premise of doing that each time, like, I don't get... maybe you're trying to avoid all the history that was involved with the other series, but then why are you doing a Star Trek then? Why don't you just do... a like space exploration show.
I'd like to do a Star Trek. If you don't
deal with all the history,
I'm going to avoid all the Star Trek stuff.
I just don't get it, man. It doesn't look it doesn't look that good to me.
Well,
they
want to use phasers.
Another science fiction series.
I heard that it's kind of having some trouble getting off the ground or something like that. Somebody backed out or?
Well, no, I think it was they at first it was going to be a network show, but then it wasn't, and now it's part of a CBS network. Like, I don't know what it's even called, like an app, or is it like you subscribe to just this network? I don't know.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure somebody will watch it and they'll let us know if it's any good or not.
Yeah, I don't, sorry, I got to send this text real quick here. You bring up the next point.
Send a text. Okay. In other news, there's a theater in Austin that
I have this written down.
Is they're showing Rambo. And they decided they're going to have men only. They want to allow men only. This is a man only show. Wait a second. It was a woman only Wonder Woman screening. It was a screening of Wonder Woman for women only. Yeah. Men cannot come to the screening. So that's happening.
I don't want to get too involved in, you know, getting on a soapbox and a political fight over this whole thing. But it really just, it doesn't help. Like, doing something like this, how does this help us? How does this make us feel united? How does this make us feel equal? When you're blatantly just going, no, we don't want those people here. We just want these people here. That's it.
Sure.
And like you just said, if it was a Rambo showing that it was only men invited, it'd be a huge problem.
Yeah.
And there's also, I mean, you're telling... Okay, let's say that there are boys that want to see Wonder Woman, too. And if you tell them when they go to this theater, no, you'll have to go back to a different showing. This is only for the girls. Yeah. How's that fair to little boys that like it? You know, you're putting, now you're, it's not equality anymore. It's just equal discrimination that you're trying for.
It's unequal discrimination.
Well,
it's
discrimination exactly.
When you want it.
But you're equating discrimination to equality, and that's not... Well, you, all these times we felt like this, well, now we're going to turn it on you. Well, that's still discrimination. You know, that's still what that is. You're embracing the thing you're fighting against.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting event. I personally do not have, I think a theater should be able to do whatever they want. I mean, they've paid for the movie, they own the theater. And if they want to say, let's do this, okay, have a woman's night out, have a ladies' night, and have it be that. But it seems to be an issue where, like that's why I started off with a false story.
Yeah.
It was that if it was a man's thing, then it would be news, and it would be a big deal, and a lot of people would be upset about it, and you'd be saying that men, women should be able to do this too. Well, okay, this goes both ways. So
yeah.
The theater can do what they want, and I'm all for what they said was, you know, let's celebrate women's empowerment. This is a movie with an empowering woman character, and we're gonna celebrate and we're gonna do this thing.
Yeah,
that's fine to me. It's great. Even you want to celebrate your femininity and your womanhood. I just want the same
equal treatment.
Well, you can't do that and then complain about, you know, anytime a man is empowered, it seems now that that is trouble.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been like that for even all of my life. I mean, all of our lives, it was different, but, I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting story, that's happening. And I'm kind of curious what other people think about it. My thought as a whole, like I said, is just
the
theater should be able to do whatever they want. But
I have no problem with it. But I know that people would have problem with the other side of it, and that to me is unfair.
Right.
So if you're going to say this is a women's night and only women can go to this, then you've got to be okay too with here's Rambo, it's a guy's night, and just say guys only at this type of thing. And it's never going to be okay. That's not going to be okay. It's going to have a huge amount of backlash if that ever would have happened.
I'll tell you what's not okay is if they remake Rambo.
Oh, yeah. Zac Efron.
I'm not going to that.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. You know that is going to happen.
I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm not interested. I'm not going to man's night at Rambo.
Speaking of Stallone, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, is he in that?
He is in it. Okay. He's in it. It's a small part, but he is in it.
That's right. I heard that.
Kurt Russell has a much larger part than
Kirk Russell. Why don't they get Kurt Russell for Expendables?
I don't know.
That's what needs to happen.
Man, the effect at the beginning, the de-aging Kurt Russell, which everybody knows about at this point, that he's they do a lot of that in these films. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It is truly incredible. Like, you could just do that and make some, like, circa 1983 Kurt Russell movies right now. Yeah. Give me a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China with a de-aged Kurt Russell. I'll take it right now. It looked really good. Like, better than the Michael Douglas de-aging in Ant-Man.
That reminds me of how impressed I was. I watched the first 5 minutes of Civil War. And
the de-aged Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, with Iron Man.
Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah, I was like, man, this looked really good.
It looked really good. It looks better than that.
I was looking for... And it's the same with Captain America. They did I assume the same thing. Yeah. Matched up really well.
Yeah, they did an incredible job on those effects. I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I got the Marvel burnout, and I didn't really want to see any more superhero films. I kind of needed a break. But I sat down and I watched Doctor Strange, really enjoyed it. Went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because the boys wanted to see it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. If you like the first one, you'll like this one.
You rewatched the first one.
I rewatched the first one.
How did that hold up?
Still held up. I laughed a bunch. I laughed even more at the second one. And the story may not be quite as solid as the first one was, in my opinion. This one felt more like the laughs were more driving my enjoyment of it than the actual story of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was driving my enjoyment of it. And the characters.
Probably was.
But I still really liked it. And it was I think I said this to you. The only set of Marvel films now, besides Captain America, where the sequel lived up to the first one. Because every other Marvel sequel has not lived up to its first installment. All the Iron Man sequels, not as good. The Thor sequel, not as good. Avengers sequel, not as good. But the Captain America movies have been solid throughout. And the Guardians of the Galaxy, the second effort was equal to the first one.
I'll probably see that.
A Marvel movie that I am worried about is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Homecoming. He's doing a lot of combing his hair.
That's still good.
There's no problem with this.
It's still good. It expired in March. It's still good.
Homecoming. Mm. Spider-Man Homecoming.
New trailer just hit.
Yeah.
Actually, two versions of the trailer. International, I prefer because it's got more Michael Keaton stuff. The other one. I like the kid playing Spider-Man. I like the look of the suit of Spider-Man. I like that he's now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I like that idea. I don't like that it feels like an Iron Man movie almost from these trailers with just a different guy in the Iron Man suit.
I was a little bit disappointed that there was more. His suit was doing all the same stuff the Iron Man suit does.
With the HUD display where he's looking and you can see things. It's all digital.
Digital stuff and the woman talking to him. And
he's just in an Iron Man suit. I don't want to see another Iron Man Jr. movie. I want to see Spider-Man.
He has powers.
That's his thing. He doesn't need this suit. And I know that they're doing there was an Iron Spider-Man storyline where Tony Stark does make him a suit and it's this advanced suit. It's got all these extra things it can do. And it kind of relates to the Civil War thing. And so I understand what they're doing here, that they're They're doing that storyline because it ties into Civil War. It ties him into other heroes. But I don't think that anybody really looks at that story and goes, I wish the movie was this. I want a Spider-Man movie of this. I just want a Spider-Man movie. I don't really want the Iron Spider movie. I want Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And so when you make it more about what the suit can do and not really what Spider-Man can do, it's Iron Man all over again.
He has plenty of quips.
Yeah. Oh, it's quip crazy. Which Spider-Man is a jokey character. He does say a lot of quips. But it's filtered out throughout a battle. Or, you know, it's...
It's not every single thing.
It's not every single thing. And that's just a trailer, so we may not know.
It might be spread out. But
totally. It could be very much spread out.
Within that trailer, I was joked out in the first...
I agree.
I was like, man.
I was Iron Man'd out. Because I get him as Iron Man, and I get Iron Man.
It reminds me of Deadpool.
It does remind me of Deadpool, the constant jokes. Yeah. But again, that's just a trailer. We don't know about the actual movie. I could do without the extra things on the suit too, like the big bagginess of it, and then it vacuum forms to him.
That's how you know it fits.
Why does it have to do that?
Because just of
that effect.
Because of Back to the Future too.
And then we've got the buddy who knows his identity, which we've talked about before, and I think that ruins a big aspect of what makes the Peter Parker Spider-Man thing work. If he's got somebody that confides in him that thinks it's cool he's Spider-Man, you've ruined a big aspect of what made Spider-Man work in the beginning. There's also in the other trailer where he's filming the Civil War fight on his phone and like talking to his phone during the fight and like looking at things with his phone. That's not really something Spider-Man would do either. Like to take the time in the middle of this fight to be talking into his phone and recording things.
I noticed a whole lot of...
Doesn't really work for me.
A whole lot of cell phone activity.
Yeah.
Which is a personal pet peeve of mine. I know other people will not be bothered by it, but for me, it really takes me out of something. I know it's supposed to be like relatable and believable or whatever, or maybe people just can't imagine anything other than a cell phone being used, but it's boring to me. So that's going to be a problem.
I don't want to go completely down on it. This is just my take from the
trailers. I don't know if Homecoming the comic uses a cell phone a lot, but
I don't think there is a Homecoming comic.
Oh, there's not?
No.
Well, what the heck is this all about?
That's just the name of the movie. Everybody's trying to figure out what the Homecoming has to do with it. I guess it was a play on him coming back to Marvel.
Okay.
But I don't know of a Homecoming story.
I thought there was a new storyline where he was a younger and more young and hip.
The storyline currently is that he's in charge of a business, like it's Parker Industries. And he's got lots of money and he invents stuff.
Well, that's totally the opposite.
It's really lame. I think that's what the play on that is. Maybe him coming back to Marvel. I could be wrong though.
Well,
I haven't read every single Marvel story.
You would know if there was a comic, and you wouldn't know. I wouldn't know that there was a Spider-Man comic out that you didn't know about.
That's true.
That could
exist, and we both don't know about it.
That is ridiculous, James.
I don't know.
It doesn't exist.
I don't know.
I can tell you for sure. It doesn't.
But I do like Michael Keaton.
He was very good in the clips that they have of him.
That will get me at the theater. I trust in Michael Keaton's ability as an actor, and I trust in, you know, he has chosen some weird roles over the years. But especially now when he's back on the rise of him not taking something that he doesn't believe in just for a paycheck.
Well, he was in RoboCop 2, sort of.
But that RoboCop was before 4, sort of the Birdman thing, I think, wasn't it? Was that before Birdman?
I don't think so.
Was it after Birdman? I don't know.
I don't think it was.
I don't know. Who knows? But either way, and he wasn't bad in RoboCop either. I didn't mind Michael Keaton in RoboCop.
No, he's not the one that's going to be bad.
No, it's the movie itself that was kind of bad. And that could happen here. Keaton might be fine in this film, and the movie itself fails. I will say by the trailers I'm seeing, I still don't think they're going to come close to Sam Raimi's interpretation of the first two Spider-Mans. That is Spider-Man. They nailed it. And this seems like it's more focused on tying him into MCU, which I understand that's the whole driving force of doing this, is to tie him into the MCU. I hope at the end of it, and by the trailers it does seem this way, because it seems in his battle with Vulture that he's back to his homemade suit.
Voltron.
Where he moves away from the Iron Man suit. I hope that at the end we erase all of that. That we just go, maybe he realizes that he doesn't need that suit anymore. And he goes back to just being Spider-Man without the Iron Man suit. I love the look of that suit, though. I would like to see him in that suit without all this crazy Iron Man things going on with it.
There are a couple of things I liked. kind of liked him sitting up there eating the churro.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That
with the mask up.
It was kind of funny. Yeah. It was kind of
funny.
That seemed like a real moment to me.
I liked when the eyes were messing up and it freaked the kids out. I thought that was a real moment too. Like
it was something like, okay. What did he save somebody? He saved
he was helping an old lady find her way or something like that. He stopped the robber with the bike and asked if it was anybody's bike.
Yeah.
I liked those moments.
It was a couple moments.
And he was, in those moments, he's just being Spider-Man. He's not doing the Iron Man type stuff. He's not having the chest insignia fly off and do something or looking at his hands with the HUD display or all those different things that we don't need him to do.
Don't need it.
I will say the poster is awful.
Posters usually are in these days.
It's awful, man. It is so busy.
I haven't seen it, but
it's got so many characters on it. It's got a big Tony Stark and Iron Man on it. It's a terrible poster. It's awful.
I will say the Iron Man parts that they showed in the trailer did not look very good.
Yeah.
CG wise.
Maybe it's on Iron Man out. Maybe that's my problem.
Maybe
I'm just Iron Man.
Iron Man 1 is still good though. I mean, you watch anything from Iron Man
it's
1,
really
it still
good.
Looks really good.
He's good in Civil War.
I'm just talking about the look of it. Tony Stark, he's still as funny to me. I love Robert Downey Jr. Robin Donging Jr.
Hey, kids show, man.
Robin Donging.
Come on, let's not get crazy here.
So, hey, you'll see it. You'll let us know what you think.
Yeah, I'll see it.
You'll see it.
I'll see it.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, I put the Spider-Man Home. Oh, Spider-Man 3 might be getting a special edition.
What does that mean?
They're doing like a Blu-ray set soon. Yeah. And on the Japanese release, it talks about there being a Spider-Man 3.1 overseen by Sam Raimi to, I guess, try and fix Spider-Man 3.
Really?
Which I think that there's potential to be a good movie somewhere in Spider-Man 3. Because there are some good aspects of Spider-Man 3.
Cut out the Sandman part.
Cut out the Sandman entirely. There's been two edits that I've watched of Spider-Man 3, and both are better than the theatrical version. So maybe there's a chance that with Sam Raimi's direction and pulling in some scenes and cut stuff that he could fix Spider-Man 3. That would be great. Love that, to have a really solid trilogy out of it and not have one part that's just kind of eh. I don't know for sure if it's coming, but all those releases over in Japan, all the press release stuff, it seems to point towards that happening. I'm sure if it happens over there, it'll happen over here. So, what you got?
Well, let's see. King Arthur flopped. The movie?
Flopped hard. We didn't talk about this last time, or we talked about it in person, didn't we?
I think we talked about it in person. I called it. I mean, you can see it coming. I saw this coming months ago.
Yeah, it was obvious.
And
obvious.
They spent $175 million on this movie. I saw somebody did a comparison with other large movies that have come out recently that have done well.
Yeah.
And they spent more on this picture than on all those movies combined, and they have not made their money back as of yet. You know, they could wind up making it back over time, but you know, some people are speculating like, well, it's because people aren't into King Arthur anymore, and it's because it may be some of those things. I'll tell you what I think it is. That friggin' modern haircut, and he's wearing a cool kid's jacket, and there's a scene where he's wearing basically just a pair of sweatpants. He's wearing a pair of joggers, and he's punching in the air, and he's frustrated. Look, is this a Fast and the Furious movie, or is this going to be King Arthur? Because if it's King Arthur, I don't want it to look like a Fast and the Furious movie. And I'm pretty surprised that he didn't pull a cell phone out in that one, too. So
why not?
I'm telling you, people are bored by seeing the same boring stuff that they see every day walking at the mall. That's what King Arthur holds. Magic, mystery, it's an ancient world that we don't know anything about anymore. An escape to a different time period.
Yeah.
And if it looks like,
Well, who would want to see a Tarzan movie about a guy that's a tennis player? Or, you know, plays basketball? Or he's like a normal, everyday guy, but he was raised in the jungle, but now he's in this time. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that.
I don't want to see it.
If you want Tarzan, you want Tarzan. If you want King Arthur, you want King Arthur.
Yeah.
It's just...
I just think that's, you know... It just seemed like a lot of...
Terrible. I can't believe some of the things that make it through, man.
It just looked bad.
Awful.
I mean, it doesn't look like... like, wow, it just looks like you should have known that this was boring to people.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like to me. Like you put a lot of money into it, and you got nothing. So that happened.
Today is the. Oh, you got something else there?
No, I have other things, but I'm done with that.
Today is the 40th anniversary of the release of the original Star Wars. The day we're recording this, May 25th, 1977. It's been 40 years since Star Wars came out. That's crazy.
Wow.
Obviously, life-changing for both of us.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have ever met if it had not been for Star Wars.
Probably not.
You know?
Probably not.
We ended up through the shop that majorly sold Star Wars stuff. That shop wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to think of the domino effect that Star Wars had with everything. It's really touched so many lives over the years. I think more than any other film, Star Wars has been life-changing.
It had to be. I mean, it's permeated our cultures.
Totally.
Not just our culture, cultures
across the world.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's still holding on, still vibrant. I hope it doesn't get driven into the ground by this constant stuff that it's got going on with it. But nothing will ever be able to touch the enjoyment of those first three films. You know, we've had the good and the bad.
Well, George Lucas tried to touch it.
He did, but they're still there. We can still watch them. Those three films will always be those three films. You can ignore all the special edition stuff. And they really are kind of film perfection. That trilogy is.
Yeah.
Did you see the Vanity Fair photo shoot?
I did. Yes.
Episode 8?
Yes, I did. Did you see the...
The Luke and Leia picture got me.
The Luke and Leia picture was...
That got me a little bit. Tugged my heartstrings a little bit.
Luke and Leia. I don't know if I saw that picture.
It was... It's them holding each other. Like in the old... there's an old shot of Luke holding Leia.
Yeah.
Like to the side, like kind of hugging onto her. And in this one, he's kind of looking down and smiling and she's looking at the camera. And it gets you, because, you know, that's probably the last photo shoot that they did together before she passed. Kind of crazy to look at these images of Leia and know that that person's gone, you know. But for the most part, I thought they were very interesting, very well done pictures.
Yeah.
I thought Leia looked awesome.
Rey looks great.
Rey looks great. Her and Luke together was really cool.
Yeah.
Luke and Leia obviously together was really cool. I think the shot of the three villains was neat. I hope that Phasma does wear her helmet.
Yeah.
I hope that she's not going to be unhelmeted in this movie.
They'll probably, I bet she takes it off at some point.
Kind of hope she doesn't. I like the ambiguity of the character.
Yeah.
You know, like Boba Fett.
They're probably going to let her have, Boba Fett is only in the, he's in two movies, but.
Yeah.
Scarcely. I mean, just barely in.
She was scarcely in that first one. So maybe she'll be scarcely in this one. But it's just neat that that's the character. Like, just like Boba Fett, I never really need his mask to
come
off.
You don't
want to
see...
I don't really need Phasma's mask to come off.
I bet they do so she can show her face.
I do not like the Kylo scar. It should be larger. It should be in a different spot. It should match the film.
Well, that's not hip.
I don't think that that's... There was a good reason behind making it smaller and less... less disastrous. I think that's just kind of lame. That... Oh, we just thought it would... We don't want this big, ridiculous thing across his nose the entire movie. Why not?
Well, 14-year-old girls won't want to hang his poster.
He's ugly anyway. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but he's not an attractive dude anyway.
Yeah, I know.
He's a weird-looking guy.
That's what works for it. He's a heartthrob.
So why not? Why not?
Girls love villains, though.
Imagine how cooler that cover would have been with this massive burned scar down his face and him looking forward like that.
Something.
Oh, and looking really cool. Not this little tiny baby scar. It's like Anakin's little scar in episode 3 where he's got that tiny little scar over his eye. What's the point of that?
Come on. You know, there was a movie called A Place Beyond the Pines. It was a Ryan Gosling movie. It was a bunch of other people, too. He was only in half of it. But while they were making that movie, he said, I'm going to go all out and my character's going to have tattoos and whatever. So he went and got all these fake tattoos put on his face and like on his neck and stuff. And he saw some dailies after that. And he's told the director, I made a mistake here. I want to go back and I want to take these off. And we're going to tone this down. The director said, nope, you made the mistake. Your character would have made the mistake and you made the mistake. And so now you're stuck with those for the rest of the movie.
That's great.
And that's how, and so he took that and it was into it. And it should be the same thing with Kylo Ren.
It should be.
This happened in this movie.
It's complete agreement.
And now you've got to live with that. You've got to live with getting your face sliced up, and however it looked, however it wind up, you know,
this is how it is.
Should be it.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not more of a backlash. Maybe I'm just not seeing on the line over this, because it was quite a moment in Force Awakens when that happens to him.
The Force Awakens.
And for it to be kind of just downplayed in this next one is like, that kind of stinks. You know, it's like we talked about with the hand getting chopped off. Oh, well, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. It's really just a couple of his fingers that he's lost. No, that was a pretty brutal injury, and we're going to embrace the fact that it was a brutal injury, and this is how it goes moving forward. He's got a robotic hand from here on out.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It was obviously meant to be something in Force Awakens for it to happen like that. They made a conscious decision to do that. So to just take it upon yourselves to say, it's kind of too ugly, let's not do that, is ridiculous. It's very disappointing to me to not see that brutal scar.
Kylo Ren.
And then we get to the Poe and Finn cover, and then we've got this other character that I don't know who it is, and she's just there with him. We're supposed to know who she is.
I thought that was weird, too.
That was odd. Like, everybody else we know.
Yeah, everybody else in there is not only people we know, but we know pretty well. I mean, Finn and Rey were very well established, and they were the main characters of the last film. Luke and Leia are very well established. All the villains were in the last film and were pretty well established, even though Phasma had a smaller part. But it just seemed like... if there's a bunch of people you didn't know, but a character that you don't know, a new character that you don't know in each shot, it makes sense.
Exactly.
But it was weird to have
just that one,
all these heavies, and then
I could see it being in the interior, because there are shots in the interior of Benicio del Toro, is that his name? Yeah. Of his new character.
Yeah, okay.
Which doesn't really look like a character to me. It just looks like a picture of Benicio del Toro sitting there. And then a picture of Laura Dern's character, which I thought was odd with the pink hair and the pink dress. I thought that one was a little strange. I mean, who knows how it's going to play in the movie?
Yeah,
It does worry me after seeing that nightclub scene thing.
That shot, there's a shot too of all those people in their aliens and stuff in their tuxes and dressed up like they're going to a...
That's kind of weird.
That's concerning to me.
These things are kind of red flags, those are. But yeah, if that shot would have been in there with the other ones, it would have made more sense, because everything else on the cover is the stuff you recognize.
Right.
So why is this one out of place character
on the cover?
Put on this cover when that's the only new character you put on any of the covers? Okay.
It stood out. And she kind of looks like she's kind of tucked off to the side too. Like
she just snuck into the picture, like she photobombed the cover, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. What you got? What you got next?
Well, I read Hellboy Into the Silent Sea, which you picked up for me. Thank you.
No problem.
So I don't know. It was okay.
Just okay?
Just okay. The
Is Mignola writing that one?
Mignola wrote it. Gary Gianni's artwork is fantastic.
Always is.
It always is. And so the interiors look great. It's a thin book.
Yeah.
I don't know, 30 pages, 35 pages maybe, something like that, 30 pages. So it just felt like it wasn't really a strong story. It really didn't go anywhere.
Didn't merit that kind of treatment then. A little hardcover treat.
That was kind of my feeling. It was that this could be tacked on to the end of maybe you want to put it in some comics, you know, spread it out over a few different comics.
Or there was a backup story, Dark Horse Presents or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It would feel better with a meteor story attached to it somewhere. Yeah. But it seemed like it didn't warrant a hardcover $16 edition.
Yeah,
I read it in a half hour. It was not, you know.
I don't get why some books get that treatment sometimes. Why they go... prestige format on something. It's just like, why? This is just it's not even as good as a regular book.
Has he been doing Hellboy? He's taking a break from Hellboy comics, right?
I think he's been writing stuff off and on.
Oh, okay.
But not drawing it. Okay. As far as I know, I haven't seen him. There was one, I think he did a small story where he actually drew it again, but I can't remember what it was.
I love the one-off.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought.
It is nice to just get that one and done.
Yeah, I like saying, I'm going to team with Gary Gianni and do this one special story.
Yeah.
But the story wasn't special. So that's what it was kind of like. Okay, you wasted it. You had Gary. You had the master on here drawing for you.
Well, he was real busy stabbing Guillermo del Toro and Ron Perlman in the back.
Oh,
he
didn't
have a lot of time.
That's probably...
Oh, come on. I'm just kidding.
Don't
get too crazy.
That's
I want to mention really quick, Bill Murphy had his Amazing Heroes Wave 2 Kickstarter up, Fresh Monkey Fiction, and it was not getting the heat that he'd hoped to get on it. So he took the Kickstarter down. He's going to revamp Amazing Heroes 2. This is the second attempt at doing them in the Secret War style. And so instead of doing, because it was like creator owned characters this time around, like Nexus, and there's another Madman, Badger. Instead of doing them Secret War style, he's now going to revamp them and do them Eagle Force style. I do think, as much as I love that Secret War style,
yeah,
I think all of them do work better in that Eagle Force style that he's got going. He showed the digital mock-up of all of them together, and they look awesome.
Yeah.
They look really cool. And I think people are going to more respond to that, because even though I love Secret Wars and you love Secret Wars, it is more of a niche,
yeah,
market, as opposed to that 3 3/4 more realistic body style. There's a lot of collectors of that. There's a lot of different toy lines that are embracing that style. Like, there's boss fights, yeah, the Eagle Force stuff, G.I. Joe itself, Star Wars. That realistic 3 3/4 body style has a much bigger market. And the people will want those figures to match the other stuff. So I think it's definitely the right move,
yeah,
to pull it and just restart it as something else.
Yeah.
Bill's a great guy. He's been on the show. I wish him all the luck. And I really hope that when the Kickstarter gets up and going, that he'll come on the show again and we can talk about it. But if you can, look up Fresh Monkey Fiction, follow them, check out that teaser image for those. It got me really excited seeing those figures in that style. Makes me think of them going back and doing some of those Golden Age characters from the first wave of Amazing Heroes back in that style.
Yeah.
And what else they can maybe do.
Oh yeah,
moving forward.
Judge Dredd.
You should check them out, man. They're cool looking.
I saw the Madman, I think, but
You did see the revamped Madman,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You should check out like the Nexus and stuff.
I'll look at them.
It's pretty cool looking.
I love that Madman figure. I'm not even that into the character, but
it's great looking.
Kind of tempted.
Yeah.
That reminds me that Boss Fight showed their Bucky O'Hare figures.
Looks and so cool.
Looks very cool. They are $35 a piece.
That's not so cool.
And once again, I'm kind of just like, I can't
spend $35 on a like 4-inch figure. I just can't do it.
Can't do it. So that's
a bummer.
I love what they're doing, but there's that, and then with the blind packs on the accessories,
that's rough.
What are you trying? I'd hate to see a company start get a really good response, have a lot of,
I mean,
support, and I still have support, and I'm sure they'll be okay. But I'd hate to see it go the way of Palisades or something like that, where it's like, yeah,
we had a good thing going,
and we just did all these weird little things that turned people off.
Yeah. So I understand that the other stuff they did, they can reuse those bodies for other things. Mm-hmm. Bucky, you can't really.
That's true.
They're going to get Bucky O'Hare out of that body, and that's about it.
And I don't know what they did for that license or paid for that license.
Exactly. They had to actually pay somebody for this. This isn't creator of their own thing. They're paying Larry Hama and I think Michael Golden were the two creators behind that. I'm sure they have to pay them something.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, you can only use pretty much that Bucky body for Bucky's. Maybe you could do another version of Bucky O'Hare later on with those body parts. And maybe an arm piece here and a leg piece there you could reuse for something else. But for the most part, that body's just going to be for him. And it does have extra things like an interchangeable face or something. But I would cut down on those things, give you bare bones Bucky O'Hare, just the figure itself for a certain price point, and then do like an accessory pack on top of that with the extras that you can then add on for a certain price point for the people that can't afford the $35 just for the figure with the extras added on.
Maybe they're just saying, look, you either like Bucky or you don't, and we're just going to give it to you. Here's everything.
Here's how it comes. This is how it goes.
If I was really into Bucky O'Hare, I probably would shell out $35.
I don't know how many people are that into Bucky O'Hare that they're going to shell out $35.
I like him. I like the character. The comic looks pretty good. But
the cartoon was fun. The old figures are really neat.
Like you said, you can buy the old.
You can buy the old ones. You can buy almost a set for almost $35.
Yeah.
Loose ones. At least last time I checked, I mean, stuff could have changed. But yeah. What do we got next?
I've got a letter. Let's do a letter to Mattel.
You got a letter
to
Mattel. Okay.
I'm going to read a letter to Mattel. This is one.
We're sitting at 44 minutes right now.
Okay. We can do this. Dear Mattel, we have to get these out by Christmas. Grab Bad, an evil character.
You just told me I have to get them out by Christmas.
That's it.
That's all. That's it.
An evil character with a sack of random weapons that could be bad for an opponent. Digital Kata, evil terrorist of Eternia with a varied group of fans.
married group of fans.
I don't know what that means. I don't know why I wrote that.
Let me see. Is it maybe just your writing that's bad?
I don't think so.
Let me see here. Evil terrorist attorney with a varied group of fans. That's it.
He's got... I don't know.
Digital Al-Qaeda.
You know what's funny?
I don't get it.
What's the... Is evil terrorist... I didn't even... There's no tie-in to anything digital
it's
or anything.
Not. He doesn't it's Digital.
Any... Yeah, he doesn't have any...
Digital.
Digital, yeah. I don't know.
I don't... You... Maybe you broke up the word digit, Al, like it was going to be something. It had to do with digits.
Right. It had to do with a computer or something like that. Yeah.
But nothing, no, doesn't. There's no payoff.
It doesn't need, doesn't need it.
Very group of fans.
Mr. Expendable, to capitalize on the success of Dolph's new film.
not Sloan's.
The only Eternian with superpowers. That's special.
That is special. I don't know if he is the only one.
I don't know if he's expendable either. He's the only one with superpowers.
Can't get rid of this guy.
I like this one. Smoothsayer. Magician with powers that acts as Skullhead's magical... Hold on.
So many magicals in there. Magical, magical, magical. Talk about a magical. The Skeletor's magical.
Magician with powers that acts... That's grammatically incorrect. Magician with powers that act as Skullhead's magical informant on a semi-frequent basis.
What is that sentence? That doesn't even make sense.
I don't know.
Let me see that.
See what he does.
I want to see what this says here. Magician with powers that acts as Skullhead's. Okay, I got it. So you take out with powers, and it says magician that acts as Skullhand's magical informant on a semi-frequent basis.
Semi-frequent.
So he's a magician with powers. With powers should be in parentheses here. Magician with powers,
yeah.
That acts as Skullhand's magical informant on a semi-frequent basis. Skullhand.
Did I write Skullhand?
Skullhead. I like Skullhand better.
I do too.
Your handwriting's atrocious.
I'll have to write back to Mattel and tell him, listen.
We're changing to Skullhands.
Changing to Skullhands.
He can disguise his identity with a glove.
And a new vehicle.
Oh, man.
The Star Drifter. Not made for He-Man. Not made for He-Man that need to get place. Oh, I see. It's not made for He-Man.
You were writing this with sleep. It's just like a jumble of words. It's like a Seinfeld episode. You like woke up,
yeah, woke
wrote
up,
these things. The next day you're like, what's this mean?
Not made for He-Men that need to get places fast, but can go as high as the stars. Just in time for Christmas.
It'll get there very slowly.
But it can go high.
It can go high, but it's going to take a while.
It's not going to get... It doesn't travel in a linear direction very fast, but you can get up to the stars with it.
Well, if you're not in a hurry, we can take the Sky Drifter. Is that its name? Sky Drifter?
Star Drifter.
Star Drifter.
He-Men.
So there's not a major threat to Eternia.
Yeah.
They got time to work on it.
We got a lot of time.
We got a lot of time.
None of us actually work.
Yeah.
Here.
We can just hang out. You got anything else?
I have one more thing.
I have one more thing, too. You want to do yours?
I'll do mine.
All right.
Alien Covenant. Has anybody seen it?
I talked to a couple of people that seen it. They didn't really enjoy it very
much. I don't know anybody that's seen it.
The only guy I talked to that enjoyed it was a guy that was changing my oil at Oil Express.
Did he like it?
He liked it.
I thought.
He liked it. That was it. Everybody else I talked to was just like, eh.
You know,
it's better than Prometheus.
Matt hasn't gone to see it. Matt loves Alien.
He loves an Alien franchise. Blaze loves Aliens. Yeah. He saw the trailer and would just walk away.
I mean,
away.
I love Alien too.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't feel like...
I was not a huge fan of Prometheus. I didn't think it was that great. I thought it was okay.
It was okay.
And this, I mean, everything was pointing towards this being better than the Prometheus. A big part of it is the loss of Alien 5. Like the Neil Blomkamp, that this movie, and Ridley Scott, and wanting to do these movies, is what cost us more Ripley.
Right.
So I kind of have resentment towards the movie. Like, I can't embrace it. Like, I'm like, well, could have had more Ripley. Could have more Hicks. Instead, I'm getting, you know, Danny McBride fighting aliens.
There's several things. I watched Red Letter Media's reaction to it, and I tend to agree with them.
Yeah.
Like, some, not all the time, but I tend to agree with their assessment of a movie, and they said it was kind of rehashing stuff that you've seen a lot, but at the same time, doing a bunch of unnecessary things with character, you know, character that looks like Ripley, basically, and, you know, aliens.
That never goes right.
Aliens. It's a horror movie. I mean, it seems like, he said it's basically a remake of Alien.
Yeah.
Right? So you're doing the horror movie, but you're not following the rules to make something scary.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking of Ridley Scott making a statement at one point where he said, it's getting harder to scare people. No, it's just as simple to scare people now as it was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that way is to not show your monster, you know.
Not have it jumping on the thing and banging its face against the glass.
If you show the monster a bunch, I've talked about it on here before.
Yeah, Alien and Jaws work for those reasons. You don't see it all the time.
It's a pretty simple formula.
It's building suspense. And so when the reveal happens, it's a big thing and it's scary. And it's, if you only see it's your imagination taking over. Instead of just having stuff thrown in your face all the time. Didn't Ridley Scott say something against comic book films not too long ago? Like,
I can't remember.
I thought he did. But it's almost like he's kind of embracing that mentality, though, that bombard your senses. Here it is. It's all coming right at you.
It seems like he's trying to do what he thinks people want.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I don't think he's made a good movie since Kingdom of Heaven was good.
Gladiator was great. Was that before or after?
I think it was before. Gladiator was great. Kingdom of Heaven was really good, but I think that came after. And then after that, the Moses movie he made was crap. I mean, it was crap.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean...
real crap.
I don't mean from like a biblical accuracy.
Just, as a movie itself.
Yeah, it just wasn't very good.
Awful.
So I don't know what he's doing.
Universal.
But anyway, if somebody has seen it that's listening...
chime in.
I would like to know...
Yeah.
Yay or nay, because... You know, I'll see it eventually, but it might be on DVD.
Yeah, I'll probably do it on a DVD. Universal has now announced what the name of their universe is. Their monster universe. It's called the Dark Universe.
Yes, I saw that.
That's the name of their cinematic universe. And they've basically revealed that we're just talking about him.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Russell Crowe is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe's character in The Mummy, which now I guess The Mummy is going to be the start of this Universal movie monster.
Right. That's what it would seem
like. Flipping back and forth.
Yeah.
They said it's not. It is. It isn't. It is. But if you're introducing Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in that movie, it's the beginning of that universe. It's the start of it. And Javier Bardem is going to be Frankenstein's monster, which I guess will be introduced in Bride of Frankenstein, because they announced that as the next one that's coming.
Okay.
Which is kind of odd to do the Bride of Frankenstein before you do a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And then that Johnny Depp is going to be the Invisible Man. I'm good on that. I don't really need that. Okay.
He's becoming the Invisible Man as far as Hollywood goes.
I'm good on Johnny Depp now. I'm good. He can do his Pirates movies, but man, I'm Johnny Depp out.
You're Depp.
I am completely Depp out.
A Depp will do you.
I'm Depping out of this. On it.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
Except
for when he's beating his wife. He seems like a nice guy when it comes to charities and kids and, you know, helping out those who need help, except for his wife. But
that claim is unsubstantiated. I'm just good. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm just good on Johnny Depp now. I'm good on... We said it a bunch of times in the show. He always plays the weird, quirky characters. If he's going to do that, and he's not going to just act normal in this film,
he will be invisible for most of it. That's something.
I'm going to watch the originals. I'm just going to watch the originals. That's all I really need.
Yeah.
I'll take Claude Rains, Invisible Man. That's what I'll watch instead.
Yeah. I think so.
I think I'm good.
I think so. I watched Universal put out a trailer. It said Dark Territory?
Dark Universe. Yeah.
And it was
clips
of all the old stuff. And
I thought,
man, I got to go back and watch these old movies.
Watch those. I'll bring them in if you want to borrow them.
I have Creature from the Black Lagoon and The Mummy. I have all the Mummy movies.
Okay.
Invisible Man, I don't have.
I'll let you borrow that disc. It's got all the... It really, just the first one is the one to watch.
Right.
Is there another
Black Lagoon movie?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's three.
Oh, Phantom of the Opera 2. I want to see.
I have that, yeah. The original one?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the original one of that, and there's also a remake. Again, I think Claude Rains did that remake. But yeah, you want to watch the original. It's silent, but it's great.
I'll do both.
Yeah.
So bring those in. But anyway, yeah, that trailer made me want to watch those movies.
Maybe that'll be something at least that exposes those movies out to a new audience that will go, okay, well, you're watching the new one. You should go watch the original one first. So maybe that'll be something good that comes out of it. But I don't have much faith in Dark Universe. Although I do like Javier Bardem as a Frankenstein.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. That's pretty good casting.
That's a pretty good casting right there.
I think it's, I don't mind with the casting of, like, Tom Cruise is fine. I was excited when I heard he was going to be.
It's the movie itself that's the problem.
But, yeah, how's it going to be handled? Is it going to be.
It's, again, though, with this whole putting the cart before the horse thing. Let's get one out that works.
Right.
Let's just get one out that works, and then we'll worry about the other things.
Well, that reminds me. I think the King Arthur movie. They originally was supposed announced to be a universe? Supposed to be like a six movie.
Oh well,
a six
that didn't work out.
A
well.
Six movie thing. Just concentrate on making one good movie, and that's when you know if it's worth doing a sequel or not.
Yeah,
I mean,
we should say really quickly about the Justice League news.
What
that news? Zack Snyder is out as director of Justice League now.
I forgot.
Joss Whedon's been brought in. He did have a terrible family tragedy.
Yeah.
And I it would be hard for anybody to work after that, I would think. I'm kind of surprised that he's came back to the movie at all for these last, like, whatever it was, 2 months to even be able to do anything on the film after something like that happening. Yeah. I personally don't have a lot of faith in Joss Whedon being able to take what Zack Snyder has and make it into. I mean, all he's doing is reshoots and pickups. I don't think that he's going to be able to put his own take on the film. I think it's just a matter of finishing up Zack Snyder's film. So I think a lot of people are taking it as, oh, Joss Whedon, well, he'll fix it. This will be the change. I don't really know what he can do other than making a different movie. You're going to get a Zack Snyder film still.
Yeah.
It's just going to be Joss Whedon finishing things up.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get the film that we're going to get. Regardless of who came in to do some pickup shots at this point. It's coming out this year. I know it had two reshoots or whatever, but still, you're going to get the movie that they were making.
Right.
That's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Maybe small differences, but not to the point where you're going to look at a whole different installment of Joss Whedon Avengers as opposed to a Zack Snyder Justice League.
Right. Well, maybe he'll go on to do later movies for DC or something.
Well, he's already lined up for Batgirl.
Oh, okay. That's right. I forgot about
that. He's already doing Batgirl for him.
Okay.
So who knows? They did show Mera from Aquaman.
Yeah.
She looks great. I mean, she looks like Mera from Aquaman. And then there was a shot, which it could be false, but of this like maquette thing of Aquaman's suit from Aquaman, and it looks like Aquaman's suit.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the golden shirt and like a greenish pants.
Huh.
With like the scaled. It almost looks like an Alex Ross drawing, except for Jason Momoa beard and hair.
Right.
But it's actually the Aquaman suit.
Oh,
if that is the case, which judging by the Mera picture, maybe they're finally realizing, okay, we need to kind of embrace these comic suits a little bit more instead of doing this kind of stupid stuff we're doing with them, with some of them. I think that Aquaman's look in particular was jarring for me. Like I was like, man, I really don't want tattooed up Jason Momoa Aquaman. I'd like to see
Barbarian. He's not a barbarian.
Nice to see him in an Aquaman suit instead of just a bunch of tattoos and a beard. And that looks like what this is. If it's true, I don't know, who knows if it's true or not, but if it is, that's a great looking suit. I'd look forward to Aquaman much more seeing those things than as opposed to what I'm seeing now. So I think that's it, right?
That's it.
We're at an hour, so we're good to wrap this one up.
Wrap it up.
So we're signing off on this one. If you have comments on any of the things we talked about, head to facebook.com/actionfeatures, leave a comment, post, whatever you want to do. If you're listening to this on iTunes, do a quick review. That'd be great. It would really help us out. Share it with your friends, do whatever you got to do, because you know, we would like to grow the audience.
Print t-shirts with our web address on it and hand them out to people.
Hand it out to people. Do all the work for us,
because
we
expense.
Really don't want to do anymore other than just record the show.
We don't have time for this.
We're not interested in growing the audience other than telling you guys to grow the audience.
Yeah, if you guys do it, that's great.
You guys do it on your own. All right, so we're signing off on this one, and we'll see you guys next time.
Adios. Lucky.